Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Chafchet Amud Bet, that's 28b, and we are at the very end of the second to bottom medium wide line. That was a little confusing. If you go to the medium wide lines, we are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines down at the very end of the line. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We've been discussing Hespedim, that's eulogies. So we're going to tell a story now about Rabbi Ishmael. And Rabbi Ishmael had a number of children, but he had two sons that died close together, which was a big source of grief for him. And this tells a story of his colleagues coming to comfort him after the death of his second son. Tanu Rabbanan, a rabbi's taught. Kishemetu banav shel Rabbi Ishmael, when the sons of Rabbi Ishmael died, nichnesu dalet zekinim lenachamo, four elderly Torah scholars came to comfort him. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. So these four scholars came in to comfort him. It was after the death of his second son. So in accordance with practice, where you do not begin to speak until the mourner speaks to you, which we will see the source of at the bottom of this Amud. Yishmael was going to start, but before they got inside, Rabbi Tarfon says to them, Amar lem Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, De'u, you should know, Shechacham Gadol, who, that he is a great scholar, a great sage. Of course, they obviously already knew this, or it would seem that they knew this, but Rabbi Tarfon, I guess, was the senior member of the delegation. Ubaki ba'agadot, and he is an expert in Agadah. So the eulogies that they're going to provide are generally agadic in nature. So he was telling him, you know, he's an expert in Agadah, so you should make sure that it's that you're at the top of your game. So then he says, "Al yikanes echad mikem l'toch divrei chaveiro." Do not let the words of one of you enter into the words of his friend. It's not 100% clear what this means, but he was definitely giving them a warning that they should be careful how they delivered the eulogies. A couple of possibilities are that he said, the Ran interprets, that he said you should not repeat each other's, meaning make sure you're each saying a novel teaching, a new teaching, then nothing repeats what the others have said. I mean, I don't know why they would do that. The Marsha says they shouldn't interrupt each other. I'm not sure why they would interrupt each other. So it could be, I think it's more likely that it meant that don't get into a Beit Midrash discussion, meaning these are eulogies. Present them and don't make additional comments on what your friend has said. Don't say, oh, and I can also point out another aspect of this, or perhaps you could ask a question on this, because then it turns it into a study session rather than a eulogy. So he was just saying, don't let yourselves get carried away as far as beginning to learn Torah, which an avel is not supposed to do. Okay, so when they get inside, one other thing. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, "Vani acharon, I'll go last." So it could be that Rabbi Akiva was up to the challenge, where if they were saying don't repeat, that he was going to wait to see what the other three said, and he was confident that he would have something new to say even after the three previous eulogies. Okay, so they go inside. Patach Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael begins, and he says, "Va'amar ravu avonotav." His sins have multiplied, by which I think he means his own sins. Tachfuhu avilav. He's speaking of himself in the third person. His mourning has piled upon him, because now this is the second of his sons that's died recently. He triach rabotav. He has inconvenienced his mentors or his colleagues. Pa'am rishona ushnia. Both the first time and the second time, meaning this is the second time they've had to come pay him a shiva call in recent memory, because it's his second. It's the second time that he lost a child. So after Rabbi Ishmael opens up with that initial statement, na'na Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon nods to him and responds. He answers him, and he says, he quotes a pasuk from Vayikra chapter 10, which is the response of the Jewish people to the death of Nadav and Avihu. And he says, Va'achechem kol beit Yisrael yivku et hasreifa. The pasuk says, your brothers, all the house of Israel, they will cry for the immolation, because Nadav and Avihu were burned by the heavenly fire, and the Kohanim, his family members, were not allowed to mourn on that Yantif day, that special eighth day, but the rest of the Jewish people would mourn for them. And he says, "Valo dvarim kal v'chomer." Is it not a matter an a fortiori argument from light to heavy? That is that. Just as all of the Jewish people eulogize Nadav and Avihu, of course they should eulogize the sons of Rabbi Ishmael. How does he say it? Uma Nadav Avihu, and just like Nadav and Avihu, shelo asu ela mitzvah achat, that they only did one mitzvah, dichtiv, as it is written earlier in the story in chapter 9, it says, Vayakrivu b'nei Aharon et adam elav, that the children, the sons of Aaron, brought the blood to Aaron. This was the blood of the special sacrifice for the eighth day, the first day that the Mishkan was in service. So they did that mitzvah. Kach banav shel Rabbi Ishmael, so too the sons of Rabbi Ishmael, al achat kama v'kama, of course they should be eulogized. So I don't think it means here that the Nadav and Avihu only did one mitzvah ever. I think it's establishing a sufficiency that we know right before they died that they did this one mitzvah of being participants in the sacrificial service for the Yom HaShmini, for the eighth day. And that was enough. That mitzvah all by itself was enough for the Jewish people to eulogize them. And what he wants to argue is that the sons of Rabbi Ishmael certainly did as many mitzvot in their lives and right before their deaths, that they should also be eulogized. I think the context of all of these is to establish that they are worth eulogizing publicly because they were righteous. Okay, that's the first eulogy. And it's interesting to point out that in that situation, he brings an Agadah related to Nadav and Avihu, so it was two sons. Just like Aaron lost two sons, so too Rabbi Ishmael lost two sons. So it's very evocative similarity. Nana Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Yosef Glili answered, V'amar, and he quotes a different verse. He quotes a verse now not from the Torah, but from Nach, from Malachim Aleph. And this is the story of the death of Aviah ben Yeravam. So Yeravam ben Nevat was actually a wicked king of Israel. And this is the story of the death of his son Aviah. And it says that when his son died and was buried, v'safdulo kol Yisrael v'kavru oto, all of Israel eulogized him and they buried him. Now, what's interesting about Aviah is that the Yeravam was cursed by God, Mashdin Bekir, that Hashem was going to wipe out his line. So all of his children died. However, the dead of Yeravam were torn apart by animals and by birds. The only one who got a proper burial was Aviah. Why did he get a proper burial? Valo tvarim gal v'chomer, is it not a matter of light to heavy? Uma Aviah ben Yeravam shelo asa ela davar echad tov, and just like Aviah ben Yeravam only did one good thing, dichtiv bei, as it is written. So the end of the pasuk says, the continuation of the pasuk from before where it said, v'savdu lo kol Yisrael v'kavru oto, it says, ki ze levado, he alone, yavo la Yeravam el kever, was of Yeravam that came to be buried properly. And then it continues, ya'an nimtza bo davar tov, because there was found in him a good matter. So he did one good matter, as the Gemara will explain what that good matter is below. Kach banav shel Rabbi Ishmael al achat kama v'kama. So even the son of this wicked Yeravam, who did one good thing, was appropriate to eulogize him in public, and also he got this reward of being buried properly. So too the sons of Rabbi Ishmael should be eulogized publicly as well. In this case, it is still a story that talks about the death of a son in relationship to his father, just like Rabbi Ishmael and his sons. My davar tov, what is the good matter that was found for Aviah? Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Chinina bar Papa. There's a machloket between Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Chinina. Chad amar shebitel mishmar tov ala l'regel. One of them says that he abandoned his post and went up to Jerusalem. Well, went down, but you always go up to Jerusalem. Went south to go up to Jerusalem for the holiday. V'chad amar, and one said shebitel pardasa ot, that he nullified not his watch, but the guards. Shehoshiv Yeravam Aviv, that his father Yeravam had placed al hadrachim, on the roads, shelo yalu Yisrael l'regel, so that the Jewish people should not go up to the festival. So Yeravam did not want people going from the northern kingdom of Israel to the southern kingdom of Yehuda in order to go to the Beit HaMikdash for the festivals. He wanted to have his own religious center in the north, and if his people went down to Jerusalem, that would give power to the kingdom of Judah, which was actually his enemy, or his opponent. So he put armed guards on the roads to not allow the Jews who wanted to go to the Ben HaMikdash to go. So his son either himself went up to do Aliyah LeRegel, showing that he cared about the Ben HaMikdash, or even better, he got rid of the guards. He got rid of the guards so that other people as well could go up to Jerusalem for the festivals. And because of this one good thing, he was zocheh not only to be buried properly, but to be eulogized as well. That's the second eulogy. Here's the third one. Na'anar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'yomar. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah answered and said, he quoted a verse here from Yirmiyahu chapter 34, and this is talking about the death of Tzidkiyahu, who was one of the kings of in Jerusalem. And what's said to Tzidkiyahu is, "Bishalom tamut, in peace you will die, uve misrafot avotecha hamalachim arishonim, and the burnings of your fathers, the earlier kings." And by the burnings here, it doesn't mean their bodies, which is not allowed, but the burnings of their personal effects, that the things that belong to the king are burned so that they're never used by someone else again. Asher ayulafanecha, that came before you, kein yisrafulecha, so you too will be accorded the respect. In other words, you'll have a dignified death just like the other kings. Valo dvarim kal v'chomer, is this not a matter of light to heavy, logical argument? Umad Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda, just like Tzidkiyahu, the king of Judah, shelo asa ela mitzvah achat, who only did one mitzvah, and Tosfot is bothered by this one particularly, because he says Tzidkiyahu was a big tzaddik. Of course he did many, many mitzvot. But the particular mitzvah that he did shortly before he died is Sheheela Yirmiyah Minatit, that he brought Yirmiyah out of the mud. So Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, had come to prophecy that if the Jewish people allied with the Babylonians, that the Beit HaMikdash, that Jerusalem would be destroyed, and he was right, but they didn't want to hear what he had to say, so they threw him in a pit. So Tzidkiyahu was the one who took Yirmiyahu out of the pit. So too, the children of Rabbi Ishmael, their actions also are worthy of being eulogized. Now, the reason I know that it's related to eulogies is because the end of the pasuk, which is not quoted here, is "Vahai Adon Yisbidulach," and they will eulogize you. So this too has a context of eulogy. And it also does have some, at least, context of fathers and sons, because it says, Misrafot avotecha, just like your fathers had their effects burned, so too will you. So it's still connected to fathers and sons. Finally, the last eulogy is Rabbi Akiva, Nan Rabbi Akiva v'Amar. Bayomahu, he quotes here from Zechariah chapter 12. Bayomahu yigdal hamispeid b'Yerushalayim. On that day, the eulogies will grow great in Jerusalem. Kemispeid Hadad Rimon bebikat Megiddo, just like the eulogy of Hadad Rimon in the valley of Megiddo. We encountered this Agadata also in Megillah 3a. And it's a similar teaching here. V'amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Ilmale Tirgumei, if it were not for the translation of this verse, the Aramaic translation, the Haikra of this Pasuk, Lohava Yadana Maika Amar, we would not understand what it was saying. So the Aramaic translation breaks it out, expands the verse to make more sense. Instead, what it says is, there isn't one eulogy here. It's not the mispeid of Hadad, the eulogy of Hadad Rimon. It's actually two eulogies based on the two uses of the word mispeid in the verse. So the way it says is, Ba'idna hahu, in that time, Yazgei mispeda b'Yerushalayim, there will be a great eulogy in Jerusalem. Kimispeda de'achav bar Omri, like the eulogy of Achav, the son of Omri. De'katal yativ Hadad Rimon bar Tav Rimon, who was killed by an Assyrian soldier, Hadad Rimon, the son of Tav Rimon. So the eulogy was not for Hadad Rimon, it was for Achav, who was a king of the Jews, who was killed by Hadad Rimon. That's the first mispaid. Okay, but the second mispaid was Ucha mispaid di Yoshiyahu bar Amon, like the eulogy for Yoshiyah, who was also a king of the Jews, to Katal Yate Paro Hagira, who was killed by Paro Hagira. Bikat Megiddo, in the valley of Megiddo. So the Bikat Megiddo refers to Yoshiyahu, not to Achav. So in this verse, based on the translation, we see also that there are two eulogies, and Rabbi Akiva is saying there's a eulogy for one of Rabbi Ishmael's sons, and a eulogy for the other of Rabbi Ishmael's sons. There does not, however, seem to be any connection to fathers and sons here. I don't see any connection to fathers and sons. But the pasuk, the rest of the pasuk after where it quotes where we said The next part of the verse says, "V'safda ha'aretz," that they were, that the whole land eulogized them. So there is a context of eulogy. So he says, Rabbi Akiva says, "V'halo dvarim kal v'chomer." Is it not a matter of logical deduction? Uma achav melech Yisrael. Just like Achav, who was the king of Israel, shelo asa ela davar echad tov, who only did one good thing. Now that might be true of Achav, by the way, because Achav was a wicked king. In Tosfot, or I don't remember where I saw it, maybe in the Rabbeinu Hananel, he says, well, he did more than one good thing. He did one good thing when he admitted his sins to Eliyahu, and then he did one other good thing that it mentions now, but not too many. Dichtiv, as it is written, v'amelech haya ma'amad ba'merkava, Nochach Aram. What he did that was a heroic act was the soldiers were attacking him and he was mortally wounded, and he had his soldiers prop himself up in the chariot so that it did not appear as if he was mortally wounded, in order to give courage and strength to the Jewish troops so that they would not give up because the king was killed. So he exerted a heroic act in warfare. Kach banav shel Rabbi Yishmael alacha kama v'kama. So too shouldn't it be that just like Achav was worthy of being eulogized for this one heroic act, so too the sons of Rabbi Yishmael should be eulogized as well. So each one of them presumably presented these agadot without any discussion, but the Gemara now adds in a few footnotes related to these stories. Amar le Rava le Rabba bar Meri. Rava asked Rabba, the son of Mary, "Ktiv be b'tzidkiyahu," related to Tzidkiyahu, the pasuk said, "B'shalom tamut," you'll die in peace, right? And then it goes on to talk about the burning of his personal effects. But uchtiv, later on, it's written, "V'et enei Tzidkiyahu iver," that they blinded Tzidkiyahu's eyes, so he was tortured before he was killed. Can you really say that he died in peace, like that he had a peaceful death? That's not a peaceful death. Amarle, hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan. Here's what Rabbi Yochanan said. The meaning of that he would die in peace is shemeit Nebuchadnezzar biyamav, that Nebuchadnezzar died before he did. In other words, he got to see in his lifetime his opponent, the wicked Nebuchadnezzar, die. And that was the shalom that he had in his death. The Amar Rava l'Rabba bar Meri. And Rava said to Rabba bar Meri, "Ktiv baby Yoshiyahu," related to Yoshiyahu, it also says that he's going to die in peace. It says in Malachim Bet, "Lachein hinini osifcha lavotecha," I will gather you to your forefathers. That is a euphemism for dying. "V'ne'esavta el kivrotecha," and you will be gathered to your grave. "B'shalom," in peace. So it says also that Yoshiyahu would die peacefully. However, the death of Yoshiyahu was far from peaceful. Uchtiv, it's written that the way Yoshiyahu died is vayoru hayorim lemelech Yoshiyahu. The archers shot their arrows into the king Yoshiyahu. V'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, she'asuhu kikavra. They shot so many arrows into him. I was thinking it's like a pincushion, but the word kavra means like a sieve. That the when they took the arrows out, he was leaking blood from so many wounds that he was like, it was like he was a sieve. So that's not a peaceful death. That's a terrible death. Amar le hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan said, "Shelo charav Beit HaMikdash b'yamav," that the Beit HaMikdash was not destroyed while he was alive. In other words, he saw a lot of terrible things happen, and he saw that, you know, things were going in the wrong direction for the Jewish people, but he didn't have to experience the terrible tragedy of the Churban in his lifetime, and that was the shalom that Hashem gave to him. Okay, that ends the story of the eulogies for Rabbi Yishmael's sons. There are just a couple of other small items that are now added here related to comforting a mourner. So the text of the Gemara here says Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but it seems to be a mistake. The Rabbeinu Hananel fixes the girsa, and I'm going to just read it. I'll read it slowly according to the proper girsa because there's a lot of additional words here. So this is how it should be read. Instead of Amar Rabbi Yochanan, it should say Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay, should say Amar Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. And the first thing that it should say is Ein Hamenachamin Rasha'in Lomar Leshev Ela Al Hakarka. The mourners, comforters who come into the mourners, should only sit on the ground. That's where they should sit, is on the ground. Shenemar, as it says, Vayeshvu ito la'aretz. So this is the last verse in the second chapter of Iyov. So it's Iyov chapter 2, verse 13. It says that Iyov's friends, quote-unquote friends, come to see him. They sit up with him on the ground. Shivat yamim v'shivat leilot, 7 days and 7 nights. Then it says, ve'ein dover elav davar. They did not speak to him. Ki ra'u ki gadal ha-ke'ev me'od. Because they saw that the grief was upon him very greatly. Iyov had lost all seven of his sons. So then, after that teaching, it says, V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ein menachamin rasha'in lomar davar. The comforters are not allowed to say anything. Ad she'yiftach avel, until the avel begins to speak. And we saw that above with Rabbi Ishmael, who was the first one who spoke. The others didn't speak until after Rabbi Ishmael spoke. Shenemar, as he said, achrechein patach Iyov et piyu. So the first verse of chapter 3 in Iyov is achrechein patach Iyov et piyu vayikalel et yomo. Iyov opened up his mouth and cursed his days, cursed what had happened to him. And then if we skip all the way through chapter 3 to the beginning of chapter 4, then it says vayyan Eliphaz ha-temani vayomar. And that's what it says in the Gemara, vahadar vayyan Eliphaz ha-temani. That's the next chapter. So Eliphaz waited halachically properly for Iyov to speak first, and only afterwards did he offer his consolation. So there are two teachings that kind of got messed up in the text here. The first teaching was that they should sit with a mourner on the ground, which we actually do not do halacha lemaaseh. And the second is that you should wait for the mourner to speak, which we do. Okay, then we continue. Amar Rabbi Abahu said, Minayin, what is the source, la'avel, for a mourner, shemesav birosh, that he should sit at the head of the gathering. Shenemar, as it says, and here we quote another pasuk from Iyov, but it's from Iyov chapter 28, that says, Evchar derachem, va'eshev rosh, I will sit at the head, va'eshkon kemelech bigdud, and I will dwell like a king in the troops, kasher avelim yinachem, just like mourners. Now here's the question, is what does this word yinachem mean? What it sounds like is that it sounds like it ought to be read just as mourners are comforted. So are comforted can be read in two ways. One is, as one Rishon said, is yinucham. There's no vowels in the text, so you could read it as yinucham. They are caused to be comforted, just as mourners are caused to be comforted. So the mourner should sit at front, and that's how the mourners are caused to be comforted. Or perhaps, and I think this is a better reading, that you put a dagesh chazak in there, that the word yinachem, which means he will comfort, is different than yinachem, he shall be comforted. That with the dagesh chazak, it actually changes the meaning of the word. It makes it passive. So it says here in the Gemara, again without vowels, yinachem acharini mashma. It means that he will be comforted by others. Or perhaps yinachem acharini. Others will comfort him is what it means, because the proper reading of it is yinachem with the dagesh chazak. However, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, yinachem ketiv. If you look at the text of Iyov, you'll see that it does not have a dagesh chazak. It means that mourners are comforted. In other words, what it means is that's how mourners give comfort to other mourners. So the question is exactly what it means. It seems to be a difficult teaching. So for that reason, Marzucha brings another teaching, but it is as difficult, if not more so. Marzucha Amar Mayhacha. Marzucha says we learn the teaching that the Avel sits up in front from this pasuk in Amos, which is a very hard pasuk to understand. The pasuk says, Visar Mirzach Sruchim. And the happy song of the Sruchim, the revelers, the happy song of the revelers shall pass away. So meaning when you become a mourner, you know, everybody's singing and having a good time, and then they all fall quiet in their sadness. So what he wants to say is that Mirzach, the singing, na'aseh sar, he becomes, instead of sruchim, he manages the word to be a sar, like a prince who sits in the front, lisruchim, to those who were reveling. It's a very hard, it's a very strange teaching, and it depends on reading the words of the pasuk in a very unusual way. I don't have more to say about it. We're going to keep going. Last piece. Amar Rav Chama bar Chanina. Rav Chama, the son of Chanina, said, Minayin lechatan, since we were talking about an avel sitting in the front, Minayin lechatan shemesa brosh, how do you know that a bridegroom sits in the front of the gathering? As it says, kechatan yechahen pe'er, that it says in Ishayahu that the bridegroom shall serve in a position of distinction. A pe'er means like royalty. Ma kohen, so but it compares the bridegroom to a kohen. Kichatan yichahen. Ma kohen barosh, just like the kohen is always put in front. Af chatan barosh, so the chatan is also put in the rosh. But then they ask, the kohen gufe minalan, how do you know that a kohen himself is put in front? What is the source? The Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel, the Kidashto. It says in Vayikra that a Kohen should be sanctified. What does it mean to sanctify the Kohen? L'chol davar should be kedusha. Anything that is a matter of kedusha, of holiness, the Kohen goes first. And this is a halacha midoraita. It's a required halacha from the Torah. So the answer, so what does that mean? Liftoach rishon, he should open the Torah first. That's what we call Kohanim up to the Torah first. Ulevarich rishon, he should be given first option to lead Birkat HaMazon. Vilitol mana yafer rishon, and anytime that that you're sharing something, and each one is going to take a portion, he should be allowed to take the nice piece first. These are the special privileges of a Kohen and how we sanctify a Kohen. So since we learned that, and therefore for a Kohen, it then applies to a bridegroom as well, based on that teaching. Tosfos just mentions one other interesting thing, which is the Kohanim are not meant to be arrogant this way. The mitzvah is upon the Jewish people to honor the Kohanim by allowing them to do these things. So they should wait to be offered. In other words, the Kohen should be given the first aliyah, he should be asked to bench, and he should be invited to take first. But if he is not asked or invited, he should not take it himself, because he's not entitled to it as far as him grasping it on his own. He's only entitled to it so that his fellow Jews can fulfill the mitzvah of giving it to him. Okay, we'll stop there on the last line of Chavchet Amud Bet. We just have a little bit of Gemara to go to finish the Masechta. Our next recording will be our last one. Have a wonderful day.